Let us pray.
Lord, we come to you as we are. Lord, we pray that this morning you speak to us so that we can enjoy more. You are our security. You are our secret place. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit teach us with your words so that we can see and be encouraged and to know how to enjoy your own presence, how to enjoy your security for us, and so that we can have peace and strength to follow you. Now we commit our time to you, commit the speakers and the listener to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, I would like to look at Psalm 91 in the Old Testament with you. This psalm is a very popular psalm in the Bible, especially during the time of COVID, when the whole world was in turmoil. At that time, the newly found COVID-19 had caused fear and anxiety in our surrounding world. It might also have caused fear and anxiety in our inner world within us. At that time, Psalm 91 has been a comfort for many. One reason is that verse 3 and 6 explicitly mention about God's protection against deadly pestilence. Now the threat of COVID-19, together with the turmoil and fear it caused, has been subsided a lot. But the turmoil of the world has not become less. We have pneumonia in China started from Beijing. We don't know how it will develop. We have other turmoil. We have wars between Russia and Ukraine, wars between Israel and Hamas. People are in suffering. In Australia, we don't have these wars directly, but we can still experience the impact of these wars. Some people may experience the financial hardship come from current inflation or other reasons. Even some people might not have any political, financial instability, but we can still face the turmoil in our life, like illness or even death. Last month, we had a sister passed away to be with the Lord after struggling with cancer for a number of years. She loved her family so much. She worked very hard to look after them, even during her severe illness. Her death brought big turmoil to her family. Even when our physical environment apparently being calm and safe, we can still have turmoil and struggles, worries in our hearts during our Christian journey. The Bible tells us that trials and turmoil are expected for every Christian. Apostle Paul and his companions told the new believers in Acts chapter 14, saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Therefore, Psalm 91 is still a very relevant psalm to every Christian, before, during, or after COVID. Let us look at the psalm to see the message God wants to tell us this morning. I would like to give this psalm a theme. God is the security for those who dwell in him. We can look at the psalm in the following three parts. The first part is in verse 1. This verse states the theme of that psalm. God is the security for those who dwell in him. Verse 2 to verse 8, the security in God. And verse 9 to verse 16, the security in God is for those who dwell in God. Let us look at the first verse, which is the theme of the whole psalm, as a declaration by the psalmist. We look at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who made this declaration? We don't know. Who is the psalmist? We don't know. There's no title for this psalm, so we can't sure who wrote this psalm. However, this psalm is just after the Psalm 90, which was written by the man of God, Moses. Jewish rabbi, they believe that whenever a psalm has no title, it is written by the psalmist who wrote the psalm just before it. Therefore, they believe Psalm 91 was written by Moses. Though we can't be sure Psalm 91, whether it's from Moses or not, there are some meaningful comparisons between Psalm 90 and 91. Both Psalm 90 and 91 talk about God is our dwelling place. Psalm 90 talks about our days have passed away in God's wrath. 91 talks about we are secure in God's protection. Psalm 90 talks about God set our sins before him. Psalm 91 talks about we set our love upon God. Psalm 90 talks about we finish our years like a sigh. Psalm 91 talks about God satisfies us with long life. Psalm 90 asks God for his glory to appear to us. Psalm 91, God commits to honor those who love God and call upon God. From this comparison, we can see that Psalm 90 expressed the need and longing of men to have God to be their dwelling place. Whereas Psalm 91 answers that need and longing, and it calls men to have God to be their dwelling place. In verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the declaration of the psalmist. What is the secret place of the Most High God? The first picture in the Old Testament come to our mind is the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle of God, which represents God's very presence. For us, as Christians in the New Testament, we can no longer go to the physical Holy of Holies of the temple or tabernacles, which was the temple was destroyed in AD 70. But we can now go directly to the much better real spiritual Holy of Holies, the very presence of our Holy God by the blood of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that our life is hidden with Christ in God. To us, the secret place of God is Christ himself. In him is the very presence of God. And we have looked at Ephesians chapter 2, also tells us that even when we were dead in sin, in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ by his grace and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This tells us even more clearly that our secret place is in Christ Jesus. What is the consequences of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? The second part of verse 1 tells us that it is the abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you want to be under the shadow of someone? Maybe not everyone wants to be under the shadow of someone else. Under the shadow of someone else means that the person covers you, protects you, keeps you, but also influences you, such that you may feel restricted or lack of freedom. Like the younger son in Luke chapter 15, he chose to become a prodigal son, asking for his father's wealth and wanted to enjoy his own freedom by leaving his father's house and shadow. He wanted to be a man of no shadow. He thought the money he had received from the father could be his security. The youthful days ahead of him and his friends surrounding him could be his security. Regrettably, soon later, he wasted and spent all his money. All his friends forsook him. He was so hungry that even he wanted to eat the pots that the swine ate, but no one gave him. Do you want to be like the younger son who refused to be under any shadow but only wanted himself to be his own securities? Today, what is your securities? How you build your life upon? Which security you want to be abiding in? Your talents, your accomplishments, many likes or thumbs up from social media platforms, your health. We know that they can't be our true securities. We know all this will pass away. Only God can be our lasting securities. Let us desire to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, so that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Only God can give us security under his shadow. Now we come to verse 2 to 8 for the second main point. God is the security. After the declaring, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty in verse 1. The psalmist himself responded in verse 2 to his own declaration, saying, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Not only an objective declaration made by the psalmist in verse 1, but here is a personal conviction and trust in God expressed in verse 2. Trusting God is my refuge in time of danger. Trusting God to be my fortress, my strong protection, my security. Proclaiming that God is my God. I have no other God. He is the only one I worship. He is the only one I trust and serve. The psalmist then described in verse 3 to 8 how God protects those who dwell in him under his own shadow and keeps them safe. Of course, under God's protection doesn't mean that there's no trial or dangers or hardship. There can be a lot of various dangers. But the psalmist encouraged his audiences how God will protect them from all these dangers. In verse 3, said, there might be dangers of snare of the fowler. Like the Amalek, the enemies of Israelites, they attacked the Israelites at the back when they came out of Egypt, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 25. The Amalek attacked them on the way when Israelites were faint and weary. They cut off their tail, those who were lagging behind them. But God strengthened the Israelites through Moses' prayer during their battle with the Amalek. Even the Israelites, eventually, they overcome and defeated the Amalek. And verse 3 and verse 6 also mention the danger of the deadly pestilence. Like the pestilence came upon Egyptian livestock and the festering boils upon Egyptian people and their beasts. But the Israelites were all protected from the pestilences. In verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. The psalmist used the maternal instinct of mother bird to express God's motherly protection on those under his shadow. God cares tenderly for his little ones, his weak and needy children. Do you feel that you are weak and needy? God desires to stretch out his feather and wings to cover you and care for you. God also protects us with his truth as shield and buckler. His truth can refer to God's truthful promise That is the psalmist's declaration in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But on the other hand, the truth can also refer to the truth of God by which we can be protected from different kinds of danger. Let me quote a couple of examples. Previously, in verse 3, we talk about the Amalek came as the snare of the fowler to the Israelite people. Amalek, in the Old Testament, signifies our flesh, which is our fallen old self. The danger of Amalek to Israelites is like the danger of our flesh to us Christians. Moses said in Exodus chapter 17, he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." We need to face the temptation of the flesh as long as we have our body on earth. We need God to protect us from the desire of the flesh and help us overcome it, because it can come as a snare of the fowler. How does God protect us from our flesh come as a snare of the fowler? By the truth of God in his words. Satan is the father of liars. He always used lies and falsehood to attack and destroy people. He likes to tempt us Christians through our flesh, our old man, to gratify our sinful desire of the flesh, to tempt us to sin. He always undermines the seriousness of sin and promotes the enjoyment of sins in our flesh. After we sin, Satan then accuses us of sinning and lies to us that God no longer wants us and loves us because of our committed sin. We dare not to turn back to God to receive his forgiveness. Without forgiveness from God and strength from God, how can we overcome sin? Alone by ourselves, we can easily be tortured by sin in despair and hopelessness. However, God's truth can shield us from Satan's lie. The Bible tells us that sin is always our enemy, and we should never be casual with it. We should always run away from sin. If we do sin, we should go back to God straight away. The Bible says that God's forgiveness is available to those who are willing to repent and to trust in Jesus' blood. Another example is anxiety. Previously, we mentioned about the deadly pestilence. Anxiety, or anxiety disorder, today lies a pestilence affecting people, including Christians and non-Christians. When we were young, we feared darkness, because in darkness, we can't see. I remember when Abraham was young, we went to a father and son's camp. One night, the rain poured down very severely, heavily, and the tent we slept inside was in total darkness. I needed to go out from the tent to do something, like passing an umbrella to someone, and left Abraham alone in the tent for a short while. But after I came back, I found Abraham was very afraid because of the darkness. Though it was a short time for me, it might be a long while for him. In darkness, the surrounding is an unknown to us. We feel lost control of things, full of uncertainties. We worry, we fear. When we grow up, we might not fear the physical darkness as much. However, we have fear and anxiety in facing uncertainties and unknown. In different areas in our lives, Maybe it's our study, our job, our finance, our health, our future, our family. We need God's truth in His words to shield us from that pestilence of anxiety. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Christians are told not to be anxious, not to be anxious for anything. When we have any anxiety, we can turn them into prayer, supplication. Let our request be known to God, either prayer for ourselves or supplication for someone else we care. Also, when we pray or supplicate, to do intercession, we do it with thanksgiving. We can have a thanksgiving attitude because we trust God and know that His sovereignty are over the entire matter we are requesting. We trust God for His faithfulness. We trust God for His goodness. We trust God has His best control and plan on the matter we are anxious for. By replacing anxiety with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, God promises that we can experience the peace of God surpassing all understanding. The peace can protect our hearts and minds from anxiety. That's why Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Our hearts are so easy to be troubled, so easy to be afraid of something we see from our surrounding. Like the Christian in the Pilgrim Progress. One day he saw a narrow way in front of him, which is he needed to walk through. However, he saw two lions were roaring in the way. This is the danger. The mistrust and timorous were driven back. There are people mistrusting God. They are timid people. Because of these two lions, they turned back. The Christian eventually chose to go ahead because he was reminded that these two roaring lions were in fact chained. They were under God's sovereignty. They couldn't exert real harm to Christian to damage him. However, they could use roaring threat to damage the Christian faith in God and hence His peace. Is there anything you are currently afraid of? What is it? Is this just roaring threat, but chained threat? Jesus continues saying in John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Yes, in this world we may have tribulation. However, Jesus has already given His peace to us. This peace is different from the peace the world can give. The peace the world can give is only an outward peace. Outward peace relies on a peaceful environment, free from danger and tribulations. But the peace in Jesus for us is the one from within, from Him. It is a peace in the midst of tribulation and hardship. This is a real peace, knowing that we are in good hands. There's a story about a king who offered a prize to the painter who could paint the best picture to express peace. The challenge attracted the imagination of artists everywhere. The king then gathered all his senior officials in the palace to see the submitted painting one by one. Most of them are very well-drawn paintings. At last, the king wanted to ask his officials to vote for the last two paintings which the king likes most. The first one shown is a very peaceful lake. The waters were so calm and undisturbed that formed a perfect mirror to reflect the stable mountain around it. A beautiful green pasture is next to the lake with some sheep eating grass very peacefully under the blue sky with a few white clouds above. Indeed, a very peaceful picture. Many expect this to be the winner. Then the last painting is being shown. The picture catches all the officers by surprise. It is not a peaceful picture at all. It is a picture with heavy rainfall, storm, and lightning. The waves of the seas were very high. The waterfall poured down from different parts of the hills next to the sea. This is a picture far from peace, and the officials wonders why the king included this picture to be one of the last two. As they look further, they discover a little bird resting very peacefully in her nest. The nest is built on a small bush behind one of the waterfalls in the cleft of the rock. Needless to say, all the officials voted this apparent turmoil painting is the best among all to express peace. Because this is a peace in the midst of a turmoil and dangerous environment. This is the kind of peace that Jesus has for us. From verse 5 to verse 8, the psalmist assured his audiences not to be afraid of different kind of danger, because they will be well protected by God. We will be all protected by God. But those who rebel against God, the wicked ones, couldn't have peace and will receive the reward of their wickedness. They can't be at peace with the holy and righteous God. Without peace with God, they can't have God to be their dwelling place, and hence they have no real peace. The reward is the anger of the righteous God towards their wicked sin. Like the Israelites, all men from age 20 or above who had complained against God for bringing them out of Egypt and asking them to enter the land of Canaan, they accepted the bad news of the powerful Canaanites from the 10 unbelieving spies coming back from Canaan. They rejected God and despised His power. They do not trust God. They are wicked in God's eyes. All of them die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. In Psalm 91, verse 7 to 8, the psalmist said, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Did not Joshua and Caleb experience this? Yes, they did. They are the audiences of Psalm 91, verse 3 to 8. Today, as we listen to Psalm 91, do we want to be the trusting audience of this psalm, like Joshua and Caleb? Or are we the wicked Israelite distrusting God? May Joshua and Caleb's faith encourage us to trust God and make our dwelling place in God. If we have anyone haven't believed in Jesus, hope that you can believe in Jesus and receive God's forgiveness so that we can have God's acceptance and we can dwell in God as our dwelling place. Now we move to the third section of the psalm, verse 9 to 16. The third main point from this session is the security in God is for those who dwell in God. As the start of this session in verse 9, there is a word because. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. This word because implies the blessing of the security in God mentioned in this previous verse does not automatically come upon to everyone. This security is only for those who made God as their dwelling place. How can a person make God, the Lord, his dwelling place? How can a person abide in Christ? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that by God, we are in Christ Jesus. It is God put us in Christ when we first believe in Christ. It is not that we need to strive or struggle with our own effort to be in Christ or abiding in Christ. It is by God we are in Christ Jesus. Our responsibility is to trust God putting us in Christ. Our responsibility is not to go out from Christ by frustrating our fellowship with Him. Our responsibility is to abide in Christ according to the teaching of the anointing. As the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. The anointing here refers to the Holy Spirit. So here John effectively said this. But the Holy Spirit which you have received from God abides in you. When you believe in Jesus and His gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit will then abide in you and won't leave you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same Holy Spirit teaches you concerning all things. And the teaching of the Holy Spirit is true, and it's not a lie. And just as the teaching of the Holy Spirit has taught you, you will abide in Him. So let us pay attention to the last part. That is, just as the teaching of the Holy Spirit has taught you, you will abide in Him. It is God who saved us through our faith and put us in Christ. It is God who gave us the Holy Spirit abiding in us to teach us abiding in Christ. How the Holy Spirit teaches us? Through the Word of God. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you." That's why it is important for Christians to have fellowship with the Lord through His words, prayer, and prayer every day. Only through God's word, taught by the Holy Spirit, we can know how to trust His words and keep abiding in Christ. So Jesus continued in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." When we abide in Christ, He will give us the words remaining in us through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When we receive His words, we learn to trust His words and to pray according to the desires based on His words. Since we pray according to His words, Jesus promises that our prayer will be granted. This is how we can bear fruit for the glory of God. For a person abiding in Christ in this way, not only he or she can experience their security in God and His protection, they can also bear fruit or even bear much fruit for God. Outwardly, they might live a very ordinary life, even facing various dangers as other people do. But at the same time, their life can be characterized by spiritual fruit, feeding the spiritual hunger and needy people around them, and giving glory to God. These are the characteristics of people abiding in Christ to show more and more for those abiding in Christ. This brings to us to verse 14 and 16 of the Psalm 91. These few verses tells us the characteristics of those who dwell in God and God's commitment to protect them. In verse 14, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." God here declared to commit himself to deliver those who love him. He commits himself to set those who know his name on high in his secret place. All the previous verses in Psalm 91 are the psalmist's declaration to himself and to his audiences. But in verse 14 to verse 16, all are God's own declaration. He himself described the characteristics of those who dwell in the secret place of God. They are the ones who have set their love upon God. They are the ones who know God and His name. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. They are the ones who pray to God, call upon to the Lord. So let us abide in the Lord so that we can love Him. And through our love, we can follow Him. Although our love may be weak and imperfect, But let us set our heart to love God, to know and experience the name of our Lord, and to be a man or woman of prayer. God himself declared to commit to be with them in trouble, to commit to deliver them and honor them, to commit to satisfy them with long life, to commit to show them his full salvation. I think of Brother Joshua. Not only he experienced the Lord's miraculous keeping in his long years of physical illness, in his last days on earth, during the turmoil of his physical body, he experienced the peace in the Lord. He longed to see the Lord face to face. And he was delivered by God from the torture of physical illness. God ended his earthly life and satisfied him with long life with the Lord. Not only long, but also everlasting life. He's now waiting peacefully for the full salvation, which is the resurrection of the body when Jesus returns. Today, while we are still on earth, let us abide in the Lord. Have him as our dwelling place. Let us reorder our life to enable us to have quality time with the Lord every day through reading his word and praying. Learn to trust and obey his word by the help of the Holy Spirit. In this way, the characteristic of abiding in Christ will grow in our lives. Loving him, knowing him, and praying for his will and kingdom, bearing fruit for his glory. So may the spiritual exercise of abiding in Christ be our attraction and desire. May we enjoy more and more the security in God through abiding in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your wonderful salvation. Not only you want to forgive our sin so that we can draw near to you, so that we don't need to fear about the everlasting punishment. Lord, the salvation you provide to us is for us to enjoy you, to abide in you, to draw close to you in your secret place. Lord, we pray that through Psalm 91, you attract our hearts. To learn to abide in you and remain in you, so that we can know your name, so that we can love you, so that we can bear fruit for you and glorify you. Now may you help us, even when we are so weak and without strength. So Lord, hear our prayer. May the Holy Spirit continue to teach us with your own words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.